Second Chronicles, chapter 7, from the verse number 12. Let us read with the help of our Lord. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Let us kneel down and pray to our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thy mercy and thy goodness is following all the days those that keep thy commandments, O Lord. And thou art leading them through many difficulties and a lot of sufferings upon the face of this earth. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thou art with thy people through all the difficulties. In sadness, O Heavenly Father, thou art our comfort. In our weakness, thou art our strength. O Lord, when we see no future ahead of us, thou art our future and our eternity, O God. Great is thy love and thy faithfulness, O Lord. Thou hast not promised to us to give us all the kingdoms of this earth, but the heavenly kingdom. Thou hast not promised to us to give us all the pleasure of this life, but thou hast given us peace and joy of thy salvation. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. We praise thee for that salvation in Christ. O Lord, may our hearts be ever joined in the heart of thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we also may praise thee, O Heavenly Father, for revealing thy truth and thy wonderful and glorious mysteries to thy children. Lord God Almighty, we acknowledge before thee, O Lord, that we are many times discouraged, many times burdened with sadness, worries, and fears. And we pray, O Lord, forgive us. Forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes. Forgive us every disobedience. Thou hast said that we should not be of that little faith. And yet, O Heavenly Father, how often we find ourselves lacking that mighty, glorious faith that we see in our Lord and Savior. That saving faith that works by grace, O Lord, that is confirmed in good deeds, that is followed by endurance and long-suffering. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou make us free from all evil, that Thou purify our inner man, our thinking, our emotions, affections, that Thou remove all bitterness, anger, wrath, envy, malice, everything that is not pleasing Thee, O Lord. And Thou fill our hearts with love, pure and holy heavenly love, love that makes even the bitterness of this life on earth sweetened by that blessed hope that is steadfast in the hearts that have Thy love within. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou bless Thy holy word today and Thou multiply Thy word in our hearts, that Thou, Heavenly Father, give us the light of Thy revelation and bless us with a sound mind and clear understanding of Thy holy word. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray for the few of us here and for the few that are scattered all over the world. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for all Thy people, even those that are not known to us in the flesh and yet are known to Thee in Christ, Thy beloved Son. Spread the wings of Thy mercy, O Lord, and gather Thy people and unite our hearts and minds in this blessed teaching of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior. Give us, O Heavenly Father, this gospel to be our food, our manna from above, and our fountain of life. O gracious Lord, may Thy Spirit guide us and protect us, correct us and teach us to do Thy will. Defend us, O Lord. Thou make us humble as we walk on the path of righteousness, O Lord, and keep us from self-righteousness, keep us from pride and vanity. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou bless our labor in the faith, and that Thou guide us that we may do Thy will, O Lord, and that Thy blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us, we may share with the others, and the blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon the other brothers and sisters in the faith, that they may share with us, that there be one shepherd and one flock. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray today as we read Thy holy word, as we share the scripture among us, O Lord, that it may be as in the days when Thou hast multiplied bread and fish and filled the multitudes. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that awareness, as we are before Thy holy face, so are all Thy children, and so is the heavenly host. So that we can joyfully go onward to that blessed and holy land where there is no guile. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou enrich our souls and fill our hearts with Thy presence, Thy rulership, Thy guidance, O Lord, that we may proclaim Thy gospel far and wide by the grace and the power that Thou hast given us in Christ. Holy Father, heal the sick. Strengthen the weak, comfort the sad, and guard those that are glad and rejoicing. Gracious Lord, Thou give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. Thou give stable and safe walk to the lame. And all sicknesses and diseases, O Lord, Thou cure, and may there be sound health of Thy Son's kingdom, O Lord. Watch over us and protect us and correct us. Let not the abundance of Thy grace be limited because of the human weakness, O Lord. Reveal Thy word to each heart here, and wherever Thy word is proclaimed, O Lord, may Thy truth sound forth, and all those that hear the voice of Thy Son may rise and live a new life and walk in Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray Let this day be a day of blessing. Another step closer to the blessed eternity. Another effort to grow in faith. Another day of gratitude and praise to thy holy name. Amen. Way back in the days of Moses, the tribes and the families of the children of Israel were bringing their offerings day by day, 12 days. They were bringing their offerings before the Lord. And their offerings were in the golden dishes and silver dishes and platters and plates, and everything was prepared so that the sanctuary of the Lord be filled with the signs of the faithfulness and zeal of His people, of the gratitude for God's goodness and mercy. And many years passed until finally in the days of Solomon, the temple of the Lord was built. It took long years, hard labor. All the people of Israel separated, according to the commandment of the King Solomon, separated one part of their yearly time to labor for the house of God. It was a great project. It was a massive construction. And finally, it was completed. All of that time, there was no threat from outside enemies to the children of Israel, not a military threat. And perhaps all of that time, the time of peace, the time of building, the time of progress, the enemy is preparing his snare and his devices. The friendly enemies are more dangerous than the enemies that attack openly. But in any case, there was a time when the children of Israel were greatly aware of God's goodness and mercy, and the devices of Satan were not visible nor obvious, so they rejoiced. We read here in the chapter 5, this same book, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when the priests brought everything into the holy place in the temple, and the Ark of the Covenant in the verse 10 of the chapter 5 and on, there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb. When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. This Ark of the Covenant, perhaps the most holy thing in the most holy place in the temple. And there was nothing inside but the tables with the commandments of God. I think it's a picture. I think it's a revelation. What kind of a heart our Lord and Savior came to create in His children. That there should be nothing but the simple commandments of the Lord God Almighty. And in every situation, in everything, God's will be done. That there won't be, on the part of His children, sacrifices of evil. What do I mean by sacrifices of evil? When a believer has pleasure in sinful things, but he will not practice that, he will sacrifice that for the Lord. I don't think that's the real godliness. We don't sacrifice evil for the Lord. We gladly get rid of that evil because it's evil. It cannot do us anything good. So it's for our salvation, for our well-being, for our spiritual welfare, and ultimately, or in a general way, for our physical welfare as well, that we get rid of all the evil. If we find pleasure in anything that is sinful, we are adding to the commandments of God the teaching or the influence of the evil spirit. If we take away anything from the commandments of God, we are worshipping the devil because he is the one that knows better than God in his words, in his lie. So we read here, there was nothing but the commandments of God. You know that in the other religions, especially Greek, Roman, and so on, there was everything in their temples but the commandments of God. They were bribing their gods, and their gods were bribing the people, enticing the people. Why? Their gods were devils. We read here, it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, now they brought everything into the holy place, everything is arranged, as it was probably until the day when the armies of Babylon destroyed the temple. Everything was arranged from the beginning according to the commandment of God, according to the instruction given to Moses and the other godly servants and ministers of the Lord, and it remained like that. God did not give his people a direction to be ever-changing like this world. We can see, we can notice that the world is so prone to changes because their life is boring, empty. Our life should be filled with the presence of the Lord. What did the Lord say? He didn't say, engage in endless scientific researches or that we should strive to get up to the moon or some other planet. No. He said, feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit those that are in sickness and in prisons, and so on. And whenever you do that, you do it to me. Whenever we do something to the Lord, we experience the pleasure of that fellowship being used by Him, being an instrument of His goodness in His hands, being guided by His Holy Spirit, and we do not expect an earthly reward. Those are the offerings that are godly. That's what the Lord is giving us as a blessing to labor in. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by cores. They were not divided in groups as later on, but they were all together here. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, we find these names in the Psalms. The Levites of Asaph's group, probably a great choir, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, which signified purity, holiness, full dedication to the Lord, and having instruments of music, cymbals, psalteries, and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. I try to imagine what was this orchestra, so to say. What kind of music was that? Were the trumpets like a soft background, and the singers up front, so that the words were understood by the people that were listening, standing there in a massive gathering? But in any case, we read here in the verse number 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Such harmony, unity in singing. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, He is good, His mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of Jehovah. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. I have such a surge of impressions from this passage that I'm afraid I won't be able to share all of that with you, but maybe just some points. When the praises to the Lord are welling up from the hearts of His children, fully dedicated to serve the Lord takes these praises into the harmony of the praise and honor that He receives in heaven. Praising the Lord with our whole heart, with the words that are from His Word, with the words of the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the Heavenly Father bring pleasure. These praises are originated in heaven, generated or created by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of His children. These praises are glorifying, honoring the Almighty God, worshiping His name, but also uplifting our hearts, comforting our souls, encouraging us to go on, to follow the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the house, and the glorious presence of the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is filling again and again the hearts that are praising the Lord. The King Solomon looked, and he said, the Lord has said, that he will dwell in a great mystery, that his dwelling place will be sacred and secret, that his presence is beyond definition and beyond explanation. As the festivity of the opening, dedication of the temple of the Lord goes on, we can read that in the chapter 6, verse 12, the King Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. In the verse 13, the second part says, he kneeled down upon his knees in the presence of all the congregation of Israel with his arms spread forth toward heaven. And he said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants, that walk before thee with all their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants. So far, we would find many people that would agree to that. God is great, God is glorious, wonderful. His mercy and his goodness, everything is great and wonderful. But the last part of this verse, to those that walk before thee with all their heart, oh no, that's outdated. Just don't ask too much. Don't become legal all of a sudden. What do you mean? All of our heart. Our heart is all to the Lord. We have full fellowship. The Lord is in us. He's even talking to us and he is telling us this and that. Is he telling you in your heart what he is telling in his word? That's the presence of the Lord. Any other Lord that would leave aside the word of God and talk whatever is pleasing to the itching ears of the world is a dark Lord, a deceitful Lord, the God of this world. In his prayer, Solomon is going on, giving a long list of their needs and petitions presented to God. Interesting are verses 17 and 18. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified. How I would love to see this attitude and this faith and this prayer among God's people, among the believers today. Not to take the word of God unverified. What does that mean, to verify? An executive will give his verification, his signature to a document. Without his signature, that document is worthless. And so, the word of God is worthless to those that don't have the signature of his Spirit, that don't keep it, don't keep the spirit of the word of God. They take the promises of God, they claim all the promises, but they disclaim any obedience, or in the best case, disclaim all obedience, complete obedience. This was a great moment, a wonderful moment, glorious moment. First that singing, that anthem, the praise of the Lord God by so many priests clothed in the garments signifying purity and holiness and dedication. And as they sang together, glorifying God, the cloud of God's glory, God's presence, filled the house of the Lord, even so much that the priests could not get in. But truly, where God is present, we need no other priest but the great high priest, whose presence is indicated, marked with that cloud of God's glory. So Solomon, the king, is receiving a humble awareness in the verse number 18. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Now, King Solomon is representing his people. I don't think he himself has laid a single stone in that temple. I'm not sure, but I would think so. Which I have built means which we, thy people, have built. But he, Solomon, is aware here that God is greater than any great and wonderful building that can be built with all the help that God will provide to his people. Our Lord and Savior had no place where to lay his head down. Why didn't he go to the temple? Some of that temple was still there. He didn't come here to lay down his head, but rather, in the end, to hang it down dead on the cross. He came for a great labor. He came to show the way and open the door. You see, Satan, in his craftiness, in his deception, led the people out of the Garden of Eden. The Son of God, with his sacrifice and his labor and his example, is leading his people from sin to new life and then to the heavenly glory. But it is very important not to limit God to something that we have built with our hands. It's very important not to limit the Word of God to the minimal understanding that we have. The early disciples, the faithful, the true Christians, when they heard something that was not known to them, their heart was immediately open and eager to accept it. The disciples of John, when they talked to Paul, they talked like fellow believers. And Paul freely and openly asked them, how much are they aware of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And they said, none at all, nothing. We just didn't know anything about that. They didn't go around and around and try to say something else or to give some complicated answers or, you know, just not to face the fact. I don't know. And how many times the simple I don't know is the wisest answer that we can give. Let God be the all-knowing and we all the disciples. And when Paul told them, they sensed right away that Paul's words are the words of truth. They didn't turn back and said, no, wait. John is not here, he is not alive, he died. We are not going to change anything. We keep what we heard from him. First of all, they didn't hear everything. If they heard everything, if they understood everything that John told them, they would have known about the Holy Spirit. Because John preached about that. But when they learned from Paul, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They offered no resistance to the Word of God. That is the Ark of the Covenant, that kind of a heart, where there is nothing else but the commandments of God. We read here how great God is. Now, this universe is way beyond my perception of dimensions. I have no idea how great the universe is, and yet I truly believe that God is greater. How can that be? I don't know. I firmly believe that God is greater. There is nothing greater than God himself. By the end of his prayer, Solomon is praying in the verse number 40, now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent to the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. Salvation to be the priestly garment. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ brought to us. Somewhere in the Epistle to the Romans we read, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so many would like to stop right there and not move one inch further, but it's not complete. Those that walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, they walk in Christ. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and no one can walk on two paths at the same time. No one can serve two masters. If we are in Christ, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is so gracious that he serves us. If anyone hears my words and keeps them, believes them, him shall my Father honor, respect, will come to him, will indwell him. So it's just more than one can say. The presence of the Spirit of the Lord. But you see, I just don't see how can the presence of the Spirit of the Lord be manifested without true obedience to the Lord. Will the Lord be in our heart room sharing with the enemy? Not likely. So it's glorious, it's wonderful to have the Spirit of God in our hearts. How do we know that? When we obey Him. And when we obey Him gladly, willingly. When we know that the will of the Lord is the best for us. Now it can be difficult. We remember the prayer in Gethsemane. And I feel the necessity to confess that the most difficult moments in my life did not come close, not even a great distance close to the suffering of our Lord. It just cannot be compared. But yet that perfect example of God's will in the will of His Son is a perfect golden rule for every Christian. In every situation, God's will be done. Sometimes I wonder in my weak heart about Brother Lazarus, the beggar, dying of starvation, sickness, and nakedness, broken heart because of the negligence of the people around him. How many times in his heart he repeated that prayer, "O Father, thy will be done, thy will be done." Just another hour, another day, thanking the Father that he is one day closer to that rest that his soul is longing for. Not having any hope in this life, not expecting anything good here. Perhaps he could hear from time to time rejoicing and the sound of the tableware in the house of the wealthy man, and the people coming in and out, feasting and honoring one another, enjoying their life, and not for a moment any one of them stopped to say, "Oh, let's not forget Lazarus. He would be happy just with a morsel of bread." Nothing, nothing, nothing. And then one moment, all is gone. And the rest of the eternity is in hell. But Lazarus was resting in the realm where the faithful ones are. Our father Abraham, Isaac, the peaceful one, and Israel, the fighter, the laborer, that finally said that he is waiting on the Lord until Shiloh will come. Peace from God. We read here, closing the prayer of Solomon, verse 42, "O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant." Who is our David, whose mercies we are calling upon and in whose name we pray and on whose merit we come to the Father in our prayers? "Hosanna to the Son of David," the people sang or shouted. "King of kings." But at that time, he was riding on an animal, a donkey. Humble, meek in heart, but he cleansed the temple. He cleansed the temple, and then he went to the cross. And with his blood, he cleansed our hearts to prepare us for a sanctuary that is here on this earth, not built by human hands. And for a sanctuary that is up in heaven, eternal one. In the beginning of chapter 7, we read, "When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for His good, for His mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord." It's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the few verses. Let's just read it again and go through that step by step. "When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven." How did the fire come down? I don't know really. Was that a flash of a lightning? Or was that a cloud of flames coming down slowly What happened? Did all of a sudden the sacrifice on the altar burst into flames? I don't know. I wonder about that in the days of Elijah. My impression was when I was reading that passage that Elijah's sacrifice was taken up in flames. It was almost like an explosion. But I don't know. Perhaps it was very slow. Perhaps it took some time before everything was consumed so that the people can see what's going on. Or maybe it was just a moment, an instant, and all the people fell down before God. I'm pretty sure Ahab did too. And if there was any of the Baal worshippers still wondering what to do, they all bowed down and said, "Lord is God." They were afraid. They feared God. That moment, they would have been blessed if they feared God on and on, but they didn't. Here we read, the fire of heaven came, the sanctification, the anointing, the filling with the Spirit, the flame, the fervor, the zeal of the Lord comes from heaven. If it ever happened to us, any one of us, every one of us, that we feel our zeal and we feel very good about that, we better be careful. Any zeal that we can boast about is not from the Lord. It's the influence of this world, the pollution of the world. But here the Lord sent fire upon the sacrifice. And the fire came from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord filled the house and all the children saw the glory of the Lord and the flame from heaven. And they bowed themselves and worshipped and praised. What do we see? The presence of the Spirit of God in the flame of fire, glorifying God. And then, with that awareness of God's glory, His people can truly worship Him. And in that worship, they offer their praise and their sacrifices. They are thankful that God is willing to accept their sacrifices. They're grateful that God has given them what to offer to Him as a sacrifice. In the verses 10 and 11, we read the closing of this feast, of this rejoicing. On the 23rd day, I like this old English, 3 days after the 20th day of the 7th month, the king dismissed the people. He sent them away into their tents, and they went on glad and rejoicing in their hearts for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And now is the time that the Lord appeared to Solomon again. Why? In prosperity, the people of God lose their identity. So often, the enemy, unable to destroy our fellowship with persecution, with oppression, with threats against our life, our possessions, whatever the enemy can use as a threat, if he cannot accomplish what he wants, he will go his way, change his appearance, and come back with a smile, with a friendly offer. And how many of those that endured in difficulties, in sufferings, in persecutions, failed in comfort, in peace, in abundance? When we have difficulties and struggles in this life, as long as the Lord keep us from evil and from sin, we can thank Him for the difficulties and for the troubles, and just pray, keep us in Christ. The Lord is talking to Solomon and answering to the prayer of Solomon. It was by night, and the Lord said, "I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself and for an house of sacrifice. If any difficulty, any trouble came, it will come because I allowed it. But mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. Now look at this, that my name may be forever. But if ye turn away, I'm going to pluck it out, destroy it. God's promise is wonderful, is glorious. But we have no right to claim any of His promises in disobedience. We have no right to hope that God will fulfill all of His promises in spite of our being rebellious. No. Verse 17. The Lord is saying to Solomon, as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. As for thee, what the Lord has covenanted with David will be fulfilled, even regardless of Solomon's faithfulness or faithlessness, but not to Solomon. How did the Lord say to Eli the priest, far be it from me, I will honor those that honor me, and will be glorified in blessing those that are obedient. We read here in the verse 13 of this chapter 7, if I shut up heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is the message from God to Solomon. Solomon lived long enough to experience both the fulfillment of God's blessings and also the signs of God's judgment against sin of rebellion and faithlessness. We read here that God said, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, David committed some very grievous sins, but he walked before God, he turned back. Just as God said in the verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. May the Lord bless His word and fill our hearts with many more facts and blessings, guidance and instruction, more than what I share with you in my great weakness, this short time of our gathering. May this word of God be feeding our souls and comforting our hearts, giving us strength to our inner man, and in all of that, honoring, exalting the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For God, our Heavenly Father, has that great power and grace to honor Himself even in the weak vessels that He sanctified. Blessed be the name of God. Amen.